Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to The Exchange. This is Cheryl Castile. My guest today in the studio, Mae Chapman, is many things. She is a mother. She's been an educator for years. She's also a non-commissioned officer in the U.S. Army Reserve. And her current... Well, she's still an educator, but she also is the CEO of Chapman Casting Company and has become – I mean, she's been involved now in the film industry here in the state when things really, really took off here in the state. And as I like to say, Mae is probably one of the few people I know who can wear a look like no one I've ever met. And I don't mean for a production or anything. I'm just talking about day-to-day life. She can wear a look. So welcome, Mae.
Thank you, Cheryl. Thank you.
How's that for a – that always used to intrigue me about you, though, that, you know, I don't know if it was your performance background or acting background, but you're good at the look. Life started for you where?
Actually, I'm originally from New Orleans, Louisiana, and life started for me as far as performing on stage at the age of 14. I attended Xavier University Preparatory High School under the direction of Sisters of the Blessed Sacrament. Ah. I also was had firsthand working with Jermaine Basil, who was actually a jazz songstress in the city of New Orleans.
And this was when you were a kid.
Yes, and so I got trained by the best while attending the high school. And
was anybody in your family involved in the arts?
Actually, my mother and my father, when they were younger, they were actually dancing partners. And so everything that was actually instilled in, they both knew how to sing. So everything that was instilled in them actually jumped into me.
Oh, that's interesting. They made sure, you have siblings?
Yes, I do.
They made sure that you guys were exposed to things
exactly.
When you were kids.
Exactly. We went to a lot of the museums and a lot of everything that dealing with arts and culture of New Orleans. We knew. They made sure that we knew about our heritage as well.
Yeah. And the gentleman that you were talking about, the jazz singer that you were, can you give us a little history about him for people that might not know who he is?
She,
I'm sorry.
Yes, Jermaine Basil.
Oh, Jermaine, I didn't hear. Okay.
Yes, Jermaine Basil is a renowned, known jazz singer who traveled around the world. She sung at different nightclubs in the city of New Orleans, and great songstress, jazz music was her
thing.
Did
she teach at the school?
She did. She was actually our piano teacher, our acting coach, a music coach. She did everything. She made sure that we stayed on the right track.
Yeah. Now, is she still around, Mae?
She retired from the school.
She did.
Yes,
okay.
Ma'am.
All right. And then how did you stayed involved in performing arts through high school?
Yes. Actually, graduating from Xavier Prep, as we call it, I went into the military. When I actually got involved into the music and art department that the United States military have. And so I performed on stages in Fort Jackson, South Carolina.
No, I didn't know this about.
Yes,
I didn't know
ma'am.
That about that time.
So, man, I got involved with the arts and pretty much stayed with the arts. It kind of stayed with me throughout my entire life. And then going on, coming here to the university when at that time it was USL.
Yeah.
Those studying education, I was always involved with community efforts around while attending here. I actually won KJCB's 1995. I was part of a group called Chocolate Shake.
Well, and I have that on my to ask. Could we please talk about Chocolate Shake?
Yes, I was one of the dancers. There was TJ from Sacramento, California, Derek from Baton Rouge, and I from New Orleans. And we actually got together. We met on campus, and we practiced almost every day.
And this was a dance troupe.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was titled Chocolate Shake. And we actually performed for the Omega Sci-Fi. They had a talent show in the student union way back in 86, during that time. And from that moment on, we won first place for that competition. And then there was a city one for the city of Lafayette with KJCB. And we actually took first place for that one as well.
Yeah.
So.
And then could we talk about the big missed opportunity for Chocolate Shake?
Yes, let's talk about that.
that's what I remember.
Okay. That big missed opportunity actually was we were approached by some people that actually was working with LL Cool J during that time.
And that was during his early, when he started with the hit.
That's exactly right. And wow, just to think about that is incredible. But TJ, one of our dancers, female dancers, she actually got pregnant. And so because of that, it kind of slowed things down, and we weren't able to, you know, get the group together or be able to travel like we want. But, yeah, we were supposed to open up for LL Cool J while he traveled to Baton Rouge for a concert during that time. Yes.
And who would have known where that would have taken you? But, you know, your path has been pretty good anyways.
Right.
Yeah, Chocolate Shake. That was the early days.
Yes.
I just love the story about that group. So you came here then to school.
Yes, the USL.
And what was your focus? Were you focused on the arts?
Education, actually.
Education.
Yeah,
okay.
But I actually had to, you know, the arts never leave you. Once it's instilled in you, it never leaves you. So I had the opportunity to work with Dr. Alexander Marshall. And he was a great, he's a great instructor. And also, as I said before, working outside that area as well, I actually became involved working with Cité des Arts. Mm. And I enjoyed that as well because it kept the burning desire of the arts within me.
You know, when you were younger, it sounds like a lot of your focus was dance and music, right?
Exactly.
Were you involved in theater or acting at all as when you were a teenager?
Yes. Well, I performed on stage as far as not just dancing, but we also had different plays and all, and I had leading roles for that as well.
Okay.
Yeah, so that actually was my first taste while in high school of acting.
Yeah. Then how about when you were in the service?
In the military, the same.
Acting was involved too?
I was involved in musicals, and so I had to, you know, sing and dance and perform in front of the United States soldiers.
Oh, so you would travel to, like, different bases
and
things?
Well, we were only at Fort Jackson, South Carolina.
Yeah.
And then the next base we actually performed was at Fort Lee, Virginia.
Okay. So, and would you have to do, like, if they had special events for, I don't know, generals coming in or different things?
They would normally be in the audience while we perform.
Ah.
So it was a treat for them as well, and also entertaining for us.
Yeah, that's right. I did not know that about you, that you did that back then. Your involvement still with the U.S. Army.
Yes. I've actually stepped in the first time I was with the Army National Guard, and now I'm with the United States Army Reserve. And I plan on actually staying with them until I retire.
Yeah. And is there still any involvement performance arts-wise?
Well, I'm venturing off. At the present time, right now, I'm working as an accountant for the military pay.
Yeah.
But I am venturing off into becoming a warrant officer. There is what we call the 46th Romeo, which is actually a video production and public relations department that they have within the military. And I'm going to actually focus on that so that I could tie everything in exactly what I do today.
Okay. Very nice. You know, May, one of the things that I really wanted to talk about is one of the things that I find interesting about you, and I'm curious then about choices that you make, that we all make. But when I first got to know you and you were involved on stage acting, you then were casting some things in front of the camera, and people absolutely loved what you did and incredibly talented. But there came a time, and it wasn't too long after I got to know you, where for you that desire was to get off of that stage or off of in front of the camera and to get behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, correct. While performing at Cité, and we did that wonderful play, End of the Perfect Death, where I played the lead role.
Yeah, and that was Austin Sonier Jr.
Yes, it was, and written very well. I decided it was time to get the cameras off of me and time to get the cameras on someone else. I always knew that I had the eye to look for talent within the area. So this burning desire within me that I want to see others succeed. You know, I want to see that, you know, not so much that it's all about me.
Yeah.
You know, that there's others out there that have talent, and then I can go in and mentor them in the process.
Was it difficult at all to, because I know there were a number of people trying to talk you into staying on the stage in front of the camera, You know, was it difficult? Were those conversations hard?
It was in the beginning because you hate to tell people no.
Yeah.
And
because it wasn't just other actors. I mean, it was people who were putting together productions that wanted you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I decided that, you know, at this moment in time of my life that I just wanted to see others succeed. I mean, not so much of me not succeeding. I was succeeding within them, and they didn't realize it.
Explain that.
Okay. Well, if I mentor or help an actor that comes through and they say, well, how do you get to the next level? Or how does an actor perform on stage to grab the artist's attention? Then here's where I came in as a mentor to tell them, this is step one, two, and three. And, you know, and the biggest part is that you're going to always keep them on the edge of their seats. So I tried my best, and I'm still doing that today. But it was a hard decision for me because I know others wanted me to perform on stage. But I said, it's time to take the mirror off of me. It's time to put the mirror on theirs. Other actors that are out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And during that time, too, because you were an educator in the Mamou area for quite a long time.
Yes, I was. And I actually had 7 8th graders, behavior disorder students.
Yeah.
And the most remarkable thing, and I love to tell this story, is that within these kids, a lot of times, you know, we look upon their behaviors like they can't do anything. They're not going to amount to anything in life and, you know, be based on their behavior. But I seen something different in these children. We were not targeting who they really were. Most of these kids have talent within. So I said I had to turn that around. And the way about turning that around, I put aside the curriculum for a moment. And I said, okay, this is what I'm going to start teaching you guys. So I grabbed the book by Dr. Farrell Gray. It's called Rillionaire. And in Rillionaire, during the time, you know, at the age that he was, at the age of 13, he gave, he had different steps of becoming a millionaire. So it was one particular day when one of the students came and told me, and they said, Miss May, you know, something happened on the playground and, you know, there was someone that told them they weren't going to amount to anything in life but have babies and go to jail. And I said, from this moment forward, we're going to change that. So I taught those kids about entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. I say, if you don't do anything in life, even if you don't graduate from here, you're going to learn how to open your own business and succeed. So from that moment on, I took Rillionaire and also grabbed The Secret. And so I had to tell him that in order to achieve anything in life, you must ask for it, you must believe it, and you will receive it. Yeah. And so as I was teaching these kids all of the fundamentals about the law of attraction,
Can you talk about The Secret for people that may not know what The Secret, what that is about?
The Secret is a book I happened to stumble upon that it's almost like self-motivating and self-directing, where it guides you. It's, you know, a lot of people look at it, it could be kind of spiritual, but it's not. You know, you had to look at it different, and it deals with a lot of, you know, with the universe. And I'm a spiritual person. But it deals with one being connected to a higher power so that they can move forward. That's exactly
whatever that higher power is.
Whatever
that
higher power is.
Yeah.
The whole process of you moving forward, you succeeding. So that's what The Secret really is about. And there's different laws that applies within to get you to that certain area, but you would have to personally know yourself in order to get there.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's interesting when you think back to those kids that you were working with, the students, that it was, my guess is probably one of the first times somebody really talked to them about real life experience.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And that's all I wanted to give those kids, was just real life scenario. So getting back to The Secret, in the law of attraction of things. So as I was teaching the kids about the law of attraction, And then I started talking about, guys, I'm involved with the arts, and I've sung on stage, I sing them in front of the camera sometimes, I'm behind the scenes. I said, I'm involved with a local theater, which is City as Arts, and I said, it's amazing how things just gravitate towards you because you become a family, and you don't realize it, that whatever you're involved is going to be a magnet. So make sure that you draw positive things toward you. So as I was telling them that, all of a sudden, I started becoming heavily involved, getting involved with the film industry, meeting different producers. And this one grand day while teaching the kids about the law of attraction, I received a phone call from a New Orleans producer that basically said, hey, we're going to be in the Lafayette area, and we're going to be needing help with background. Can you help us? And I'm like, well, how long is this project? And they said, about 3 months. I'm like, I can't leave my kids for 3 months. I can't do that. So it was amazing because, of course, anybody wants to become involved, with film, and especially in the Lafayette area. So it was titled In the Electric Mist with Tommy Lee Jones and John Goodman. So I was excited at the time, but then I was saddened because at this time in the moment, I was like, oh, my God, I've taught these kids about the law of attraction and how they should ask for something, believe and receive. And things are just coming towards me to uplift me.
That's right. Yeah.
And so I had to have that breaking point and moment where I had to actually go to the administrator and ask him and tell him what was going on. And the funny thing about it is that he looked me in my eye. And he told me, Miss May, if I told you that you could not do this, I would be wrong. He said, because when I was a little boy, I told my dad I always wanted to become an actor. And for me to sit up here and tell you no, he said, Miss May, you have done a fine job with those children. And I'm going to ask you to turn in your letter of resignation and follow your dreams. It was an amazing moment. He said, don't worry about those children. You laid a great foundation for them. They're going to be okay.
And isn't it, though, a continuation of what you were teaching them?
Exactly.
Setting that example?
Yes.
This is what I've been telling you that you can do in life, and watch. I'm doing it.
And it's amazing now that, of course, they're all adults right now. And
That's true. They would be adults now. Yeah.
And so they contact me on Facebook. They contact me whenever I'm in the Evangeline Parish area, just anywhere. And they just hug me and they say, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, because we wouldn't be who we are today without you. So
very nice. Yeah. That's a good story. So you went to work on the Electric Mist.
Yes. I worked right along with BAM Casting. And that was in 2006. So that was actually my first time actually working on set.
What was that like for you?
It was incredible,
A lot of learning process.
Yes, it was a great learning process. I worked right along with Pepper Morgan from New Orleans area. So she and I worked together. And it was amazing how we actually put like 646 extras on set throughout that three-month time that we were involved with that project. So it was amazing that we got that done. And it was amazing that was my first time. I'm like, well, maybe I am pretty good at something like this. So, and it was awesome to actually meet other actors, and I call them my family members who are actors. It was awesome that we were all this magnet I was telling these kids about, that we all kind of gravitate to one another. And they showed their abilities to me, and I was able to help them. So it was like vice versa, and it was amazing just to meet everyone.
Yeah, there was a number of, local people that act in the area that were in that film.
Oh, my God, it was just incredible.
Yeah, wonderful. So that was the kickoff for you.
That was the kickoff, yeah.
At that time, did you have the sense of, okay, this is it, I'm going for it?
Well, after working on a few other projects, I realized that, okay, I'm honing my skills and my craftiness. I said, let me just, by the leap of faith, because that's all what it took, by the leap of faith, let me go ahead and just try to see if I can do this on my own.
Yeah.
And so little did I know that that leap of faith, that burning desire that I had, allowed me to, actually make history. So it has been an incredible journey since I did that, because I look at myself and I said, everything that I've told these children from the moment I spoke to them up to this point right now is now coming to you know, intuition that this is who you are. You know, you are becoming a leader. You know, in the midst, let me go back to a little bit. In the midst of all of that happening, keep in mind, during the year of 2006, I was also approached by Wayne Morgan and Pepper Morgan about the Lafayette Film Music and TV Meetup Group, actually putting that together. And so,
in the meetup group, so I mean, when they really started back, they were networking groups.
Yeah, and it's still networking groups. You know, we've been, I'm the community organizer for that. We meet up once a month, every third Tuesday of the month at the South Regional Library. And it's amazing. We have online, we have over 460 members, but, you know, those actively coming, we have about 40. So we have a lot of people that's within the area that want to know what's going on. We have a lot of UL students that come, and they want to know what's going on. This has turned into something just, I mean, incredible, you know. And I started out with 7 people.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, I only started out with 7, and that 7 now has grown, and they alone has helped, you know, have helped me along the way as far as becoming who I am as well today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so that grand moment happened. You know, I went ahead and made a decision to become, you know, a casting director. And my life has not changed since then. I'm still casting movies.
And it hasn't been easy. Right? I mean, there have been some difficult.
You know why? And I'm going to address this. The reason why things have become a little different, because true, I'm fresh, you know, and as the others would say. No, I'm not in New Orleans, you know, but I do work with projects out there, and there are others that other casting directors that are out there that work projects. It's a challenge for me because they'll go to the ones that are working in New Orleans area. But I do have a lot of clientele that do call me and they say, hey, we want you to work this project, that project. And I'm like, my work never stops. It's an amazing thing, you know. And so I'm so grateful because I'm always working. There's so many projects that out there that do need casting directors, you know, and everybody can't work one project.
That's right.
You know, so, you know, we have enough out there.
Well, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and talk more about the film industry here in the area. You brought in a song that has some meaning to you, Roar.
Yes.
It's a song that a lot of folks know out there that they hear by Katy Perry.
Yeah. This way.
I used to bite my tongue and hold my breath, scared to rock the boat and make a mess. So I said quietly, agreed politely. I guess that I forgot I had a choice. I let you push me past the breaking point. Stood for nothing, so I fell for everything. You held me down, but I got up. Already brushing off the dust. You hear my voice, you hear that sound. Like thunder gonna shake the ground.
night, and that was Katy Perry and her song Roar. If you're just joining us, this is The Exchange on KRVS 88.7 FM or on the web at krvs.org. We are listener supported, so thanks to all of you who contribute to allow all the independent programs and national programs we get into continue to happen here. You can contribute at any time by going to the website and click on the donate button. So thanks. And we are a public service, the University of Louisiana Lafayette. My guest in the studio today, Mae Chapman, actually made history here in the state as she was the first African-American female casting director in Louisiana. She's also continues to be very involved as the community organizer for the Lafayette Producers. Music, film, and TV meetup group that happens every third Tuesday at the South Regional Library here in Lafayette. So we're kind of talking about Mae's history and the film industry here. You went from doing In the Electric Mist to when you took your first job as a casting director.
Yes.
You know, let's go to the okay. Let's go to the top, shall we, Mae? But that was for a show called Mystery Diagnosis.
Yes. Actually, my debut project working as a casting director for my company was working with Oprah Winfrey Network, segment title Mystery Diagnosis.
And how did that come about for you?
I actually received a phone call, and it stated that we need a few actors to come in and film this segment for the show. And I'm like, okay, I can get the job done. So we actually filmed some of it around the River Ranch area.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so some of those shots were done there, and a few other shots were done, you know, elsewhere. But I actually got the actors for that we had in the local area.
Yeah.
And turned out to be an awesome show.
Yeah. And a lot of the jobs that you get, and in the early days, it's a lot of, like, word of mouth. Like someone says, hey, you've got a yeah, here's a number. Call this Mae Chapman. I worked with her on
it is
a lot of
mouth.
Networking. Yeah,
exactly. That's what the great thing about networking, because once you start attending different functions, film networking functions in the area throughout Louisiana, they get to know who you are, and you have a, you know, chance of working on their projects.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So someone comes in now. And they come in and sign you up to work on their production, and you're going to go through the casting part of that. My guess is there are specific things, you know, that you do have to look for based on what the role is.
Exactly.
But are there commonalities that you look for in those people coming through those casting calls?
Well, if it's a speaking role, the
yeah, because there's the difference. There's speaking and there's another non-speaking.
You have principal, supporting, and you have background.
Okay.
So our principal roles, most of the time, we actually get our A-list, B-list actors from out of state.
And why is that?
I hear that a lot.
Yeah,
Of course, we're going by, you know, Hollywood standard, and they find that because Louisiana is just still new in the industry, that they're going to go ahead and grab those who have actually worked and, you know, have a number of years and perfected their skill, and
okay.
they will grab them for other states.
Okay.
And until Louisiana is prepared and ready and have reached a certain level of skills, then, you know, we will get more better roles.
Sure. Yes. And so that's the principal. Then what's the next?
Okay. So you have principal actors, which I actually locate and contact the talent agents. Not anyone can just walk on, you know, for an audition for that. I would have to contact the talent agent also for supporting as well. Supportings are like one-liners.
Sure.
And
okay.
a lot of times our local actors actually get those roles.
Which is really a wonderful thing
exactly,
for them.
Exactly. Because you had to keep in mind that though you don't have the lead role, you know, supporting can always do as well.
That's
pay
right.
is great.
Yeah.
So, you know, it doesn't pretty much stays the same. So
is there pay for non-speaking roles?
It all depends on what you're doing.
Okay.
Sometime in non-speaking or background. Okay. So background actors normally get paid, you know, for the 10 to 12 hours that they're on set for a minimal, you know, cost. It all depends on the budget of the movie.
Sure. Okay.
And if the budget of the movie is either on the low end or high end, that reflects your pay.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the market that we have here in Louisiana, I mean, as the film industry has evolved, have you seen, though, some gains in terms of the access you have to qualified actors, you know, for those next tier roles?
So far, you know, the industry is well, hey, we're Hollywood South, you know, and
yeah,
so
yeah.
we're, you know.
It's like number three, which is a good place
to
be,
Well, we're
right?
not number three anymore.
Really?
No.
Where are we at?
We actually moved up the ladder. We're no longer number three. Yeah, actually, we were number one. We jumped up to one, and now we're down to two because a lot of the other states now have adapted our tax
incentives. Well, I thought like it was like California and New York were
California
like always one and two.
Is no longer one.
You're kidding.
No.
Wow. I didn't know
Louisiana
that.
Louisiana has actually switched, you know, things around with our tax incentives. That's why California now is basically trying to grab some type of way of getting Hollywood back to the basic standards where it used to
Interesting.
Be.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Ah.
Yeah. So, but no, we're Hollywood South, and we're booming. Most of the movies, majority of the movies are being made in the New Orleans area.
Yeah.
We have Shreveport area. And some are actually trickling actually down to the Lafayette area.
Yeah.
And then we have a few that are, you know, basically using our land and locations and area to make great films here.
Now, do you ever get involved in any of the location scouting, or do you stick primarily focused on the...
I've actually had the opportunity to do that, but I prefer just working with actors.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's my primary. Now, if I have someone, a producer calling me from California area and they say, well, we're coming to the Lafayette area, you know, would you mind doing scouting for us? And what I'll do is I'll contact and the Lafayette Consolidated Government and contact Julie Bordelon.
Yeah, Julie. She does a good job.
And she does a great job in actually locating a person that needs to be, you know, contacted to do location scouting. So, yeah. So I strictly prefer working just with actors.
Okay. So let's go back to the folks that come through when you're doing a casting. What are you looking for? Besides if there's specifics about a role, a look or whatever, what do you look for, though, in that person?
Okay.
And what they're bringing that day?
So the number one thing that I look for is, are they prepared?
Yeah.
If they have received either warm reads, what I mean by that, they've received their script, you know, ahead of time, did they prepare themselves? You know, the moment that they walk through the door, that's what I look at. The moment you walk through the door, are you that character? I'm not waiting till that character to evolve once I say slate, you know, for me, then action. I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for that character to walk through the door the moment you step in.
Hmm.
And so if that character remains with you throughout the entire audition and you put me on the edge of my seat, no matter if it's comedy, drama, or some horror thriller, if you have me on the edge of my seat, your chances with Mae Chapman are much higher.
Yeah. What do people need to do to be prepared besides reading that script?
Number one thing is, you know, my question is, are you involved in any type of acting classes? A lot of times people think they can just come on in. Oh, you know, someone told me I'm a great actor. There's a difference between theater and film.
Yeah.
And my thing is, if you never go to class and you never have the understanding of the difference between the two, then when it comes, and if you're a theater actor and you just figure, well, you know, if I go on this film project, you know, this film audition, I'm great in theater. They're going to automatically, you know, hire me. That's not necessarily true.
And it works the other way, too.
Exactly.
You know, that there's been, I just know that there's been people who have been involved just strictly in film. And boy, when they go to theater, I mean, that's a whole nother world.
It's a whole nother world. And so you have to know the difference.
Yeah.
And you have to separate the two. You know, a lot of times you say, well, it's still the same thing. The foundation is still the same. But keep in mind, there are two different elements.
Yeah.
And so if you're going to do theater, focus in theater. If you want to do film, focus, but you want to do both, you have to know, you know, which avenue to go when it's time to, you know, when it's time to roll. In other words, if I'm saying I have a casting call coming up or I have auditions coming up and it's for a film project, know which avenue you have to say, I'm going to switch my theater hat around and go strictly for, you know, this is film acting. But there are classes in the Lafayette area that are being offered, you know, film acting classes.
Yeah.
You know, so if they do their research and they find out who's teaching film, you know, who's teaching theater, you know, I want to know the difference. You know, I prefer that if a person come in, they understand even the business part, You know, a lot of times people just want, okay, you know, if I'm an actor, I do this. But then you have to understand that acting, you being an actor, you are considered an independent business. You have to understand the business. You have to understand the SAG rules. What I mean by SAG is Screen Actors Guild rules. If I should go on a low-end budget movie, how much am I getting paid? You know, mm-hmm. Know the scale. Know the book. You know, I tell people all the time, it's almost like playing football. You know, if the coach give you a game book, a playbook, and you never take the time to look at it, you're going to be lost when it's time to start playing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and you're going to lose every time. So my thing is that always, always, always be prepared. The moment you come in, if the role calls for you to, just say for some strange instance, a drunk, you know, the moment you hit the door, is clothing great to have on? Heck yeah. You know, look like a drunk. You know, the moment you hit, if you got to stagger, you know, or fall your way in the door, guess what? You made a big impression.
Yeah.
You know, the main thing is leave an impression. Always, 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 when you're in an audition, always ask questions. You know, always.
Like what kinds of questions?
Do you have any other directions for me?
Huh.
And then, you know, give us opportunity to think about it. Yeah, we have a direction. We want you to try it this way. And we want you to try it that way. Now, keep in mind, if you ask that question, be prepared to give it.
Yeah.
And deliver.
Yeah. So the individual leaves the audition.
Yes.
They do not get cast. And what would you say to that person?
I would basically tell them, keep it moving. Because one no is not a permanent no. There's always a yes around the corner. Just keep it moving. This is a business that, you know, it's almost there. It's like people say playing lottery. Either you get it or you don't.
Yeah.
You know, either you hit it or you don't. But you have to keep going. It has to become a habit. You know, walking through those doors have to become a habit. One day we're going to say yes. You know, one day you're going to be that person. And keep in mind, you may not be the person for that day, but then sometimes the producers and directors make one slight move in a script, and guess who we need? The same person that just left out that door, mm-hmm. and we'll be calling you back.
Yeah, yeah.
That all depends if you've done a great job.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean that you don't have talent.
It does not mean you
it
don't have talent.
It just wasn't the right role.
And constantly, constantly never stop honing your craft. Always, always, always find out what classes are being given out there. Take those classes. Go start going to these casting workshops that they have. Even if you have to travel to Baton Rouge or New Orleans or Shreveport, make the trip.
Yeah.
Invest in yourself.
Yeah.
You are your own business.
You know, too, May, the whole process of auditioning, isn't part of it, too, having to, I mean, you have to learn and get experienced in auditioning. You know, regardless of what that role is, you just, by going how many times you go, you learn the process and become more comfortable with the process,
yes.
I would assume.
And the more comfortable you become, and a lot of times I get this, I get cards in the mail, I get all kinds of these, like, you know, as soon as, oh, hi, May. Never, never, and I'm gonna go to rule, never, never, never shake a casting director's hand.
Really?
Yeah.
What's up with
Sometimes
that?
Sometimes it's okay, but during our audition process
because
time.
Because that's opposite from how it is in other jobs in the
mm-hmm.
world.
Yeah, something, you know, in the Hollywood world, we have something called cooties. You know, we think everybody come through the doors and not. But, yeah, just.
Well, what's the thing about not shaking the hand?
You just don't.
Huh?
Yeah, yeah,
huh.
Yeah. So you come in there, do what you have to do, you know. Win the position,
yeah.
And move on,
yeah.
You know, and then we won't call you back.
And then
maybe later on, if you have a personal relationship with the person, of course you shake the hand. But other than that, in the very beginning,
all right, folks, remember that out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, remember that. Just go walk in there and do your thing.
So when you get, you know, you're working on maybe a larger production, and you have, I mean, I remember, you know, some productions used to come in, and they weren't necessarily even filming right in the Lafayette area, but they would rent Cite when I was there and use it for casting calls. Mm-hmm. I mean, my God, there was how many people coming through. Do you have a cutoff number in terms of I can only see these many people? And that would overwhelm me. I mean, I think I would get, like, I don't know, sensory overload from
Now, I know when we did a large open call casting, we had a few people that came through. Actually, Cite this art scene.
Yeah.
We were actually over there. you know, we have set times. You know, if you can make it within this time, you know, then that's quite fine. If once the doors are closed, they're closed. You know, if
but is there a time where you shut down? You know, that after I see 35 people, I don't even know what the number would be. I don't even know if that's a realistic number, 35. You know, but I would think I would, my brain would shut down. I can't see anymore.
Yeah. When you have an open casting call, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
But when you have like auditions, you know, we set times, you know, for you to come in. You know, everything's set on a time base with me, that is. You know, I see what's coming in. Now, if it's real pressing and, you know, they need, you know, just background, you know, that could be an easy call where people just go ahead and just submit their name, their contact information, and we don't have to see them at all.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it makes it easy for us.
Well, if you're just joining us, this is The Exchange, and my guest in the studio today is casting director Mae Chapman with Chapman Casting Company. And, you know, we're talking about that whole process of doing auditions. What have you seen, how have you seen the film industry evolve in this state? I mean, now obviously it's moved up.
It has actually moved up, and you know, God, we are Hollywood South, and we, you know,
what does that mean, though? You know, what has that
so
meant for the area? I mean,
means
economically,
a lot for
it means
Louisiana.
Yeah,
economically, you know, we have, you know, we've seen billions of dollars that have come through Louisiana, and actually economically grown. You know, we have grown. You know,
and businesses starting, I would think,
and
like in terms
of course. Oh my God, we have productions coming in all the time, and it's a kind because of our incentives.
Yeah.
Now, you know, it's kind of leveling off a little bit because now we have other states like Atlanta and
so,
you know, different
so
other
the
places.
City
now,
of Atlanta's coming on strong now.
Yeah, they're now, you know, adapting to our, you know, what we've done with our state, you know,
and
the
with tax incentives.
With tax
and
incentives.
Ah,
yeah.
Interesting.
And so because of that, you know, everybody said we see what's working for them, so now they're copying.
I see.
Yes. They're copying off of us now.
You know, it's interesting, too, the things that the film industry has and TV industry has added to, you know, not only, you know, economically, business-wise that have sprung up, but this is interesting in terms of volunteerism. I volunteer every year at the Black Pot Festival out at Acadian Village. And let's see. Three of the volunteers, but two that I got to really sit and talk to, two of the volunteers that came through were people that were customers working on that American Horror Story, Coven show in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I thought at that time, because I never thought about that piece of what that adds to a region, that it's like, wow, this is – look what this has done in terms of volunteerism. You know, these people had some time off. They wanted to find out about another part of the state. They find out about the Black Pot, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was interesting talking to them about, you know, their experience in working in television, and they had also worked in film, and what they have seen, you know, they both lived out in California, but now spending time, you know, here in Louisiana. But I thought, well, that's an interesting piece that I didn't think about.
And it's amazing because now we have, like, your next door neighbor could be a celebrity. So
yeah,
it's just
yeah.
So, you know, it's so funny. And you know, I've had the chance of meeting so many people along the way on my journey. I've had a chance to actually go to Sundance Film Festival. Mm. And it was awesome, you know, being out there.
Did Zach have a film at the time that
yes,
you went?
Yes, he did.
He okay.
sure did. Yes, Zach Kosher. So it was awesome. The movie project that I actually worked on with Terrence Howard was The Ledge.
Okay.
And I was actually his acting one-on-one coach on set. And you know, I had the opportunity to go to Sundance and, you know, spend time with, you know, with the cast and crew for that project. So that was awesome.
Yeah, you know? Just soak it in.
Yeah,
you
just soak
you
it in.
Learn.
I was like, sometimes like, all the places that I've actually traveled around the world and all of the celebrities that I've met along the red carpet and all, I wish my eyes were like cameras, you know.
Yeah.
So I was like, because I want everybody to see what I'm seeing. It's just
yeah.
been a great experience of my life. You know, I look at it as this little girl from New Orleans, you know, that was once on stage, you know, performing for parents at a high school.
Yeah.
Now, you know, working with, you know, professional actors.
Yeah.
So it's an awesome experience.
Where do you see the Lafayette area in terms of that industry, the film and television industry?
To
the Acadiana area.
The Acadiana area. As I mentioned before, of course, you know, Lafayette is, we're evolving, we're growing, and my main effort as a community organizer is that when I get these producers that contact me and say, well, you know, where's a great place to film, I'm always pushing Lafayette area.
Yeah.
Because we have great locations here, mm-hmm. you know, but I just need them to understand that, you know, we don't have, their main concern is the crew base. You know, we don't have enough crew. We don't have enough skilled people to work, you know, on set, you know, but as UL and, you know, SLCC and different BRCC are actually working with, you know, those who are interested in working behind the scenes on set, the more skilled crew we have, the more that Lafayette area will be enlightened as being one of the spots for the film industry.
You know, it was interesting. I had the opportunity to tour the whole film set and everything that they have up in Shreveport. And some of the companies there, I had no idea that it was as big as it was. Yeah. And I remember the woman who was with, she was with the chamber, but also with, I think she did like their downtown development. And what she talked about is that things really took off for them up there. She indicated about the, what was it called, Battleship Los Angeles, the movie, mm-hmm. but that they were willing to shut down a major interstate. And she said that's what made a difference for them in really capturing some films that would have gone someplace else is that, you know, now here it'd be tough to shut down I-10 or I-40. I mean, there's too much going on right in this area. But up there, she said that's the thing that sold them was mm-hmm. that they got everybody to approve that and agree to shut down an interstate, you know.
And I believe Lafayette is going to, you know, we're going to get there. And, you know, the more we have – you know, those who work in the office, you know, with the Lafayette Consolidated Government as they reach out to those in other states and all the other
I think
producers.
It's nice that that's recognized.
Yes.
The importance that's recognized to have a position there,
yes.
you know.
Yes. And my thing is that as long as they keep talking to other producers out there and reaching their hand out and pulling them towards the Lafayette area, we're slow right now of you know, actually getting things along. But it's going to happen. But the thing is, when it does happen, we must be ready.
Yeah.
We must be ready.
Yeah.
So.
Know what you're doing. Be prepared.
Yeah, and be prepared. And, you know, so I commend all the students that are out there learning, you know, the skills and craft of this industry.
Yeah.
You know, because we need them.
You know, it's interesting, too, watching the, in terms of the television series and some of it being filmed in New Orleans that have really, and there's a lot of people that live in this area who, you know, I think of the guys on the Red Stick Ramblers, you know, they've been able to go and work in Treme. I think of Bruce Cohen. I mean, different people that have been able to go and get bit parts and
exactly
and work on those series.
Exactly. It is awesome just to see our own, you know, in the different movies and, you know, even with the reality TV shows, you know, Duck Dynasty, who would ever thought, you know. You know, so even with, you know, it's just amazing. You know, we have great talented people here. And my biggest push is that for them to be recognized, you know. My thing is I cannot stand, this is my pet peeve, cannot stand to watch a movie based in Louisiana and they use an actor from out of state that does not have the dialect.
Yeah, that's right.
Of, you know, we're all, you know, it's amazing, you know, that they would do something like that. But, you know, really it's a joke to me when I see that because it pulls away from who we truly are.
Sure.
You know, and so I think the more they stay connected and close to our area, the more talent they're going to get, the pure Louisianian.
Yeah.
You know.
What keeps you grounded, May?
My faith.
Huh.
My faith. I don't let anybody.
Because that's an industry where it's tough sometimes.
It is extremely tough. It is extremely tough. My faith. And I don't let anything or no one stop me from doing what I have to do. You know, I'm a single parent, and I have to do what's best for my child and I. So if it's, you know, putting my head in the grind and constantly grinding, that's something I have to do.
Yeah.
You know, so, and my whole point of creating my company is to leave a legacy. My thing is I'm not going to be here long. So I told my kids, I said, guys, you're going to have to pick up and run with this thing, okay?
Because you have kids that are interested in the arts also.
Yes, I have. All of my kids actually are very talented.
Yeah, they are.
Yes, they are. And it's amazing, yeah.
Do you miss performing?
Sometimes. But I prefer seeing others on stage.
And, yeah.
Yeah, on the screen. Yeah, it just puts a big smile on my face. And I actually work with that person. But I told them all, whoever I mentor, if you should go for Academy Award, make sure my name is on that name card. I'd like to give thanks to Mae Chapman. I want to be recognized.
Okay. You know what I always tell people at this stage in my life? If somebody says, hey, yeah, thanks for helping me, what can I do? It's like, well, if you ever really make it, give me the key to the good bathroom. That's all I want. Our priorities change.
Exactly.
What do you have coming up? What projects?
Well, okay, right now, I didn't mention to you guys before, I'm actually working with New Cupid. I'm his film TV mentor and also working right along with his great health fitness program called Q-robics. And we're actually in the midst of certifying a few fitness instructors, and that'll be coming up this weekend. And then we have...
But he's doing that like as a video or a show? Or?
Well, he actually has a video out, but right now we need fitness instructors.
Ah.
And so we're going to actually be doing this around the world, actually. So this is a big project for us. Also, next thing coming up is we have a film project that we'll be filming in the Acadiana area called Amid and Denise.
You do it with Jerry McGee.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's a Cajun story, and it's going to be awesome, and I'm ready for that, and I'll put the postings up real soon for that.
Because you're going to be looking for dancers also.
I'm going to be looking for Cajun dancers,
Yeah, that's the one. I had Jerry on the show. They came on and talked about that production. Mm-hmm. So wonderful. And you also worked on Tom Cruise's You're in Charge.
Yes, I did. Okay. Yeah, You're in Charge was an awesome movie. I actually seen it. And I want to see it on the big screen. I want to see that thing in Sundance.
Yeah.
I just want to see it. It's an awesome movie. For those who had not seen it, you need to please check it out.
And there were people like, you know, Curtis. There were certain people that just really stuck out for me, you know?
Yes.
And Curtis, I never had a chance to see him perform. You know, I'd seen him behind a camera before, but...
Yeah, this was awesome. He did an awesome job.
Yeah.
Yeah, and applause to Tom.
Yeah,
He did a great job.
Nice.
Yeah, great cast, crew, everybody was great.
Yeah. Very good. And again, I want to mention for people who want to find out more about my guest, Mae Chapman, please look for her on Facebook and at her website. Also, keep in mind about the meetup groups, the film, TV, and music meetup groups, which take place the third Tuesday of every month, and that's out at the South Regional Library here in Lafayette. And what time does those start?
7 p.m. to 9.
Okay, 7 to 9. And great place to network, to find out information.
Yes, great place to network. Even if you have a project that's going on throughout the Lafayette area, you want to go ahead and this is free advertisement for you. We ask everyone to come by and let us know what you're doing.
Yeah. Are there other websites where people, like where do people go to see about casting calls in the area?
I'm on Facebook. I do a lot of postings on Facebook on the Mae Chapman, but I'm also, you can contact me by my website, which is www.chapmancasting.weebly.com, or you can hit me directly with mchapman@chapmancasting.com.
Okay. All right. So there you go, folks, for that business. Mae. It was a pleasure having you here today.
It's a pleasure being here.
It was great to see you. We are going to go out with a song by Janelle Monae, who's quite a young talent herself. And that's going to be track two, Cecil. And this is going to be Tightrope. Everybody have a good week.
Monae and left foot. You can't See why you don't want no friction like the back of a matchbook. That if that's will fold you and your MacBook. Close shows shut you down before we go backwards. Act up, and whether we high or low, we gonna get back up like the Dow Jones and NASDAQ. Sort of like a thong and man crack. Come on.